on 10 toes.
I'm Rudy Moore. I've taken a lot of businesses to millions of dollars. I've worked with thousands of businesses one-on-one.
60-Day Hustle. It's out now on Amazon. What inspired you to create this program?
Several of them did more revenue in 60 days than they'd done in the last 6 months.
What do you think makes a good, not brand, but product? What do you think is misunderstood about being an entrepreneur or having a brand?
Well, I love that question.
Did you help come up with the casting before the show? Or were, I mean, how did you pick the 12?
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to decide who was the best entrepreneur?
Some great entrepreneurs in there that we felt really showed the hustle aspect.
Why do you always wear red?
Yeah, good first question.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. Today's guest, Rudy Maurer. He's a successful entrepreneur, marketing expert, and CEO renowned for his ability to scale businesses and generate millions in revenue. He's worked with top athletes and influencers to help them grow their online brands. And now he's making waves with his new reality hit show, 60 Day Hustle, on Amazon Prime. Today, he's joining us on the show to talk about 60 Day Hustle, where he shares his journey and the strategies behind building and managing successful ventures. The show takes viewers behind the scenes, offering a rare look into the world of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship as Rudy and his team help struggling businesses turn things around in just 60 days. And if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, 60 Day Hustle is a must watch. Rudy provides valuable insights into what it takes to succeed in today's fast-paced business environment, from digital marketing strategies to staying focused on your goals, even when times get tough. Rudy's appearance on today's show will be packed with actionable tips and inspiration for anyone looking to make their mark in the business world. Let's go with Rudy Maurer. Rudy, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. How are you?
I'm good. It's exciting to be here.
I wanted to ask you, why do you always wear red?
Yeah, good first question. I mean, look, there's a whole brand story behind it. I've been, you know, growing businesses for many years. And when I launched really kind of my personal brand and this company, I already had multiple other companies and I wanted this company to be more of a personal brand. And, you know, what I teach is marketing and growing, you know, your own brand and getting attention on your brand. And people say not to use red in marketing. So I was like, I'm going to do the opposite and have an all red brand. So yeah, we have this like, and it just compounded. It got more successful and everyone loved it. And now we have these big red offices and all the staff wear red and the whole brand's red and all these things.
Oh, amazing. So when you're not doing TV and podcasting, are you sitting around in something red?
Most of the time, yeah, I kind of, my personality is 0 or 100. So once I'm in, I'm in. So yeah, I'm pretty much, you know, my hair's normally dyed red. I just haven't dyed it recently.
No way. That's cool.
Yeah. So normally everything's red.
Well, they say that about entrepreneurs, that there's only two speeds. One is like namaste and the other is like, I'll cut you, you know, like it's one or the other extreme.
Yep.
So I get it. All right. Well, let's get right into this. I wanted to talk to you about 60 Day Hustle. It's out now on Amazon. What inspired you to create this program?
Yeah, it was a kind of great collaboration with Sonic Gods. Like I had wanted to move more into TV. You know, I grew a big social media, a big podcast, a big personal brand, spoke around the world. And I really love inspiring entrepreneurship and teaching entrepreneurship. And I think helping more people commit to their dreams and goals and see what's possible. I came from a small town in England. My parents weren't wealthy, moved to America and built, you know, what most would call this like dream life, right? And these amazing companies. So now I teach a lot and help other people do the same and motivate other people. So I wanted to do that like more of a TV level. I saw the power of TV and inspiring and reaching people. And, you know, I work with some of the sharks from Shark Tank and I saw how that show helped inspire thousands or even millions of entrepreneurs. So I really wanted to do the same, but bring in a bit of a, you know, fun kind of Rudy style energy into the show as well.
So I really liked it. I watched a couple episodes. I found it fascinating. It did remind me a little bit of Shark Tank. So can you explain to people that haven't seen it or haven't heard of it what the premise is of the show?
Yeah, I think it's a, it's kind of, we say the first show of its kind. It's got this unique nature of like, we wanted to educate people, inspire people, but then also try and make entrepreneurship fun, because to the non-obsessed entrepreneur, business can be boring, right? So we wanted to blend all of those elements. So there's different elements in the show. So there's definitely an educational element where we're teaching and trying to educate people on a broad level of like what, show what business really takes and what makes a good product. And one way we do that is we bring in other experts. So not only myself, but other people that have built billion-dollar brands that you probably shop at and know, and they kind of give feedback and judge the participants, the cast, on their product idea. And there's an elimination aspect where it starts with 12, and there's going to become one big winner, and I won't spoil who, but yeah, there's challenges and tasks, and it's a bit of a mix of, a mix of other great shows and other great aspects of entrepreneurship and entertainment all in one.
Did you help come up with the casting before the show, or were, I mean, how did you pick the 12?
Yeah. So I helped on the judge expert side, because I'm, I've been in this industry for many years, but kind of intentionally I stayed out of the casting side, because and you'll see this in the first episode. I literally say I don't know any of you or know anything about you, and sometimes in TV that can be fake, but it's 100% genuine. Where like on purpose, I didn't want to be involved or make it unfair. Where I like loved a company and brought them in, or I knew one of my members came in, so we kept it impartial on purpose.
So, I mean, so I watched the first couple episodes as I said, and I saw some of these products. It was interesting to see how, one at a time, you guys would say, that's a great idea. There's nothing new about this. This is new and interesting. So, I just want to kind of get into that for one second. Is there a product? Well, I know you can't say who won. But what, okay, let me rephrase it. Was it hard for you to decide who was the best entrepreneur? Also, when you're looking at the entrepreneur, were you seeing skills in someone that you might really like but didn't love their product, and maybe a product that you really liked but didn't like who was representing it?
Yeah, I think it's a blend, right? Like it's always a blend of, ideally you want both. You want a great product and a great entrepreneur. Sometimes, maybe there's a great product and the entrepreneur is not so great, or vice versa. Sometimes the entrepreneur is really great and the product's mediocre. But, generally, like in business life, the winner is when you get a combination of both. So,
About.
yeah, definitely there were like pros and cons there. And I think later down the line, like as the timeline progressed, you got to know the entrepreneurs and their products much better, right? And obviously, in the first episode, when you first meet people and you get to hear a minute pitch, you have to make a quick judgment, and it's not always the right judgment, right? Like sometimes reading a book by its front cover gives you half a story, but that's also reality in business, right? If someone sees a Facebook ad or an Instagram post or a influencer shout out or a billboard or a TV ad, they're making a judgment on 5, 10, 20 seconds of information. So it's kind of accurate in a sense. So yeah, there were definitely some products in there that we thought were more unique, and there were also some great entrepreneurs in there that we felt really showed the hustle aspect, and generally those people did well in the show.
What kind of results have you seen, or not you, but the participants seen since they've done the show?
Well, even during the show, like in real life, and you'll see this towards the end, several of them did more revenue in 60 days than they'd done in the last 6 months. So it's really cool to show like, hey, yeah, with real mentorship and pushing them and advice and frameworks and structures, which is what I teach in my company, like they were able to get massive results. And I call
And
it the
that's not even, that was before they had the notoriety from the show,
correct.
correct?
Yeah, that's filming just behind the scenes from the mentorship. Yeah, and I call it the 4-minute mile effect. Like one of the challenges, again, I won't spoil it, but some of them made more in a couple of days than they would do in months in their business, because we gave them, some advice, frameworks, and also pushed them and showed them what's possible. So yeah, some amazing effects. And then obviously, as the show airs and continues to grow in popularity, like any show, they're going to get, you know, free traffic and eyeballs and attention. And that spirals, right, into news interviews and relationships and getting into a store. So who knows where it will go.
Right. So exposure to next level thinking, I think, is everything. Like having a mentor like you, some of the other people that were on the show helping them, it's probably an invaluable experience. So while we have you on our show, I want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, what do you think makes a good, not brand, but product?
So, you know, we teach a lot around product, not only creation, but more. I think a lot of people have okay products, but they do a terrible job of actually showing what the product does. So okay. I think the first thing that I always teach people, especially because I specialize in online, you know, marketing, social media promotion, right? Because that's, in my eyes, the future. You have to grab someone's attention in the first few seconds and make it really clear. So I really like products where within a few seconds, it's like, wow, this is cool. I want to go further down the rabbit hole. And a lot of products don't have that. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs foolishly think that because they love their product, everyone else is. It's right. Like, no, everyone's selfish. They don't care about you or your product unless they believe it could help them. Right. So I really think the first thing that makes a great product is actually, is it easy to understand and can actually really help someone and make someone stop and go, okay, I want to learn more about this.
Yeah. I want to talk about your advice for online, for marketing online. Yep. You said is what your forte is. So let's talk about, for people that do have a product, and it doesn't, I don't want to just talk about things that are tangible products, like a thing you can, you're selling, but maybe a book, whether it's a podcast, for example, when people are trying to get the word out, can you give us some strategies for what the best way is, either when they have a budget or when they don't have a budget as well? Sure.
Yeah. And I'll say, look, the caveat or precursor is for 4 years, I failed to learn this when I first started. And I studied it and I tested everything and I geeked out on every podcast, course, book, event, seminar possible. And by 25, 26, I made my first $1 million selling literally a book and a course and education product. And then, you know, we took that to over 10 million over the next few years. And then tens of millions now through my company. So, you know, and I'm just saying that to point out, like, I didn't start with this, like, you know, born understanding paid ads or social media or marketing. I literally failed for many years and figured it out after a lot of learning and trial and error. So, yeah, I think selling books, courses, education, podcasts, anything, whether it's paid or organic, like, I always believe there's two ways to grow your business. You've got paid and organic. And either way, you're going to pay, because even if you do organic, you're paying with your time to create the content, time to make the content, edit the content, maybe paying an editor to help edit videos, right? That's all time where you could do other things to make money and put money into paid ads. So I am a proponent of paid ads because I think it's the quickest way to build $1 million plus company. And organic, as most of us know, it's not like you start a new account, post 20 times and get millions of views. Like, most platforms are made to be paid to play, like, or Instagram, Twitter, all of these platforms, they only survive from paid ads. That's what funds it. Sure. It's a free platform. So I think combining the two is the most important, and not being afraid to pay money and spend money. And as the old saying goes, you've got to spend money to make money. So having an organic strategy, which is actually reverse engineered around virality, around hooks, around shareable content, around stuff that will actually make it reach millions of people or thousands of people. And then combining that with a paid strategy where you don't lose money, you make money, because that's the point. Paid ads is the way to go.
Okay. So if somebody has the budget to do some paid ads, where would you look first to be putting those ads?
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. It's, where is your avatar hanging out, right? So if your customers are all on TikTok, there's your answer. If your customers are all on LinkedIn, there's your answer. If your customers are on Facebook and Instagram, there's your answer. And then also understanding your product. There's two types of paid ads. You can categorize them very well. One is search intent based and one is interest based. So search intent is Google or YouTube, where people are searching for a specific outcome. And if you have a niche product or something unique, it's even better on Google or YouTube, where someone's searching butterfly collection, right? Unique product. Facebook, Instagram, and these broader platforms are better when it's mass appeal, weight loss, right? How to find a relationship, how to get fit, how to make money, how to tidy up your house, how to get motivated, how to be happier, how to have more energy, how to sleep better. Something where if you line up 100 people, a large percent say I'm interested, does really well on interest based, and something that's very niche like butterfly collection or, you know, a local thing, right? Haircut in Miami Beach does really well on search intent based.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This episode is brought to you by Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their Holistic Menopause Support by PhD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. It boosts focus. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. It nurtures comfort. It gently addresses vaginal dryness with black cohosh. It's comforting to have that support during this time. It has natural ingredients. I love that it uses these ingredients like sage and rhubarb extract. If you're going through similar changes like perimenopause and menopause, I highly recommend giving this a try. It's been a relief for me, and I think it could help you too. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com for 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD. Hey there, Misunderstood listeners. I'm super excited to share today's sponsor with you, LolaVie, the amazing hair care line created by none other than Jennifer Aniston. That's right, the icon herself. As the weather shifts and we all start feeling those seasonal changes, it's the perfect time to refresh your hair care routine. And LolaVie has just what you need. Now, let me tell you about their latest game changer, the Exfoliate and Detox Scalp Shampoo. This product is a real powerhouse. It's 2-in-1 formula that works as both a scalp scrub and a clarifying shampoo. We're talking activated charcoal powder, bamboo extract, and gentle AHAs that detoxify and balance your scalp, while vegetable ceramides and B vitamins reduce flaking and irritation. It's got everything your scalp needs to breathe, especially when you're dealing with dry, itchy conditions this time of the year. Plus, it's packed with alfalfa sprouts and pea peptides to help your hair look thicker and fuller. Honestly, since I've been using it, my hair feels lighter, fresher, and healthier. You know when you have one of those hair days where everything just feels right? That's what LolaVie brings to the table. Oh, and don't forget about their B Pro 3 Bond technology. It's like your own personal hair defense system against damage. Whether you've got straight, curly, or wavy locks, this stuff works wonders. And the best part, you can enjoy that fresh spa-like experience with the intensive repair treatment right after your scalp cleanse. It's a total game changer for you. Hashtag Sunday Reset Routine. And here's a special treat just for you. LolaVie is offering 15% off your entire order. All you have to do is use code Rachel15 at checkout. That's right, 15% off when you go to lolavie.com. Again, use code RACHEL15, that's RACHEL15, to grab your discount. Seriously, if Jennifer Aniston is behind it, you know it's worth trying, so don't miss out. Remember, once you buy, make sure to tell them where you heard about LolaVie. It helps support our show. Your hair will definitely thank you for it. Okay. What about people that are interested in getting involved in a business but want to know where pitfalls might be? Like, do you believe in retail? Do you believe people should stay away from retail? Like those kind of tips.
I believe in there's lots of ways to make $1 million. And I've always been pretty good, I think, at being unbiased. There's a lot of marketers and gurus where they teach one thing because they want to sell a course, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually started in the fitness business, and it's the same there where people teach a low carb diet or a paleo diet. And I've never been someone like that because I think the true experts understand there's many ways to achieve a goal. And sometimes it comes down to personal preference and variables. So I'm not going to say retail's bad. I'm not going to say paid ads are bad. I'm not going to say billboards are bad or physical newsletters. They all have their place on a hierarchy of needs and a hierarchy of importance. I will say in general, I think social media and paid ads is going to cover 90% of businesses. And maybe a smaller percent will still do well doing retail and only, or doing billboards or doing local mail drops, right? But generally, I think most businesses need to have a social presence and need to do some form of paid ads. And also remember, when I say paid ads, I mean paying to get attention. So if you pay for someone to deliver 5,000 pieces of paper through a letterbox, you're paying to advertise. If you pay for a billboard, you're paying to advertise. If you pay an influencer to do a shout out, you are paying to advertise. If you pay to run an ad on Facebook, YouTube, Google, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter, you are paying to advertise. So eventually you've got to pay, I think, to advertise your business.
Right. Do you think it's important to have some sort of a call to action? Like if people come back to your site, they get a certain amount down.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to do it, right? The people that say paid ads don't work because we get thousands of customers, when often when we look at it, it's like saying, oh, you know, water doesn't, you know, hydrate you, but if you don't drink it, well, that's why, right? If you've got a leak in your bottle and you're tipping the water in your mouth, but there's the hole in the bottom of the bottle, of course, you're not going to get any water in. It's the same with advertising and promotion. If you just go on Facebook after this podcast, set up a bunch of ads, and you don't have a clear offer, a clear hook, a clear deliverable, a clear outcome, a clear landing page, a great video ad, a great upsell, a great cross sell, a great email follow-up, a great SMS follow-up, a great sales team. If you don't have those things, then yeah, paid ads aren't going to work because your business isn't structured right. You have to have the system in place where paid ads is just like water, and it has to go through a plumbing system and come out the other end. If you have a bunch of pipes missing and holes, then it's not going to work. So yes, absolutely, you need a clear way for customers to take an action, and you should always have that, whether it's a free action to download an ebook, go on an email list, go on a newsletter, go on your SMS updates. Maybe it's free to watch a 1-hour webinar or video training. Or it's paid a low ticket, $7 or free trial or $29, or maybe all the way up to like a $5, $10, $20,000 course, program, or experience. You should always have a clear process for that.
You mentioned influencers before. There was an article, I believe, in the New York Times about how influencers are not making the kind of money they used to. And it's a bunch of bullshit because they have a lot of paid or, you know, followers or bots. What are your thoughts on that?
I think two things. I mean, you know, the leverage of influencers and celebrities is massive, and it's going to get bigger, not worse. We actually have a whole division where we partner with celebrities and big influencers. And, you know, we work with some of the biggest celebrities in the world where we build brands with them, because I think that's getting more important. I do think more influencers are learning that they can't just keep, like, there was probably a 5-year window or a 10-year window that we've just gone through where influencers started to earn a lot of money just promoting stuff. And you have to be careful because you're going to burn out your audience. So I definitely think influencer marketing works. Like, there's no question, like, there's tens of millions of dollars made daily from influencer marketing and celebrity marketing. So there's no question that it works. Is it as effective as 5 years ago? Probably not, because like anything in business, there's an uphill, like a life cycle, right? Like when Bitcoin was a dollar, for example, if you get in early, you generally do better than when something's saturated. When paid ads on Facebook started 10 years ago, I was paying 10% of what I pay now for a click. There's a golden opportunity. So it still works. It's just maybe not quite as good. And you have to be more strategic. You have to research the influencer as part of your second question. What is this influence audience like? How engaged are they? Will they actually buy the product? Do they respect the influencer enough to take a paid action, or do they just like their funny content? Has the influencer added value and stayed consistent? Does the demographic, to your second point, match what I want? Are they a bunch of followers in India, or are they genuine followers in my niche, right? And the country that I want to advertise in that will buy my product. So you have to do your research.
Okay. I'm assuming there's a lot of spokes to what you teach. Marketing is a huge spoke. What are the other spokes that make a good brand and make a business succeed?
Yeah. I mean, we have higher level programs where it's like $50,000 or $100,000, and we take our clients and entrepreneurs through all the other spokes. So we normally, in our entry level programs, we start with marketing and building your brand, right? The foundation, social media marketing, having a clear offer, basic marketing strategies. After that, you need all the other things that you don't learn as an entrepreneur unless you learn the hard way. Like, I grew my company to over 100 staff, and you go from like being a solo entrepreneur to a marketer to like a CEO, where now it's financial management, it's HR, it's culture, it's recruitment, it's SOPs, it's legal, it's systems, frameworks, it's KPI tracking. It's expansion, right? So yeah, all of those things are really important. And I think just to add, like, to me, marketing and sales are two of the most important things to start. Like, to me, sales is more like phone sales or actually selling like that. And marketing is the promotion and the landing pages and the ads and all of those things that turn into sales, right? So marketing and sales will get you started. And then eventually you'll need teams, systems, operations, HR, finance management, and all of those other things.
Right. Can we just talk about what you think is misunderstood about, you know, being an entrepreneur or having a brand? What would you say are some of the things that you want to correct in people's minds?
Well, I love that question, because part of the show actually tries to answer that, because I think, you know, to like, I only really hang out with entrepreneurs now because I moved to America and really just came into this entrepreneurial circle. But I know that, you know, a lot of quote unquote normal people that work a 9 to 5 that don't understand entrepreneurship, I think they think it's this like you either come from money or you get lucky and make millions of dollars and live this like crazy life. But what we try and show in the actual show is it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And I think entrepreneurs risk way more than a normal person. They go through, you know, way more stress. And, you know, look, the average 9 to 5er, they finish on a Friday night and they don't really think about work until Monday morning. The average entrepreneur, you know, has sleepless nights because their employee just quit or a big client canceled or someone stole from them or they got a cease and desist letter or you know, whatever, right? A million and one things that lets them down. So, you know, like anything in life, entrepreneurs make a lot more sacrifice. They have a lot more uncertainty. They take a lot more stress on, but it also, you know, on the flip side of that is they have way more fulfillment than the average person that doesn't love their job. They get to make an impact. They get to do what they want. They get to control their calendar more. And they obviously do get upsides if they're one of the lucky few or the small percent, you know, less than 5-10% get to $1 million. The average entrepreneur earns 70 grand a year, which isn't much more than the average US salary and takes all that risk and works double the hours. So, yeah.
What are your thoughts on if somebody should invest their own money versus other people's money in their business?
I was having this discussion I was in Brazil last week at a big event, and I had this discussion at a big private dinner. And I actually think most entrepreneurs should only invest their own money. They should learn to build from the ground up, learn to be savvy, learn to bootstrap. I bootstrapped my own companies all the way to 10 million before I ever raised a penny. And even the small raises I've done is like a couple of percent of like for side projects, right? And celebrity deals.
But wait, I want to be clear for people that are listening. You didn't start with 10 million. You started with what you had, and then everything you made, you put it back in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah, I started with zero. Parents weren't rich. I worked two jobs, 80 plus hours a week, lived below my means, biked in the freezing cold rain in England to save money on gas just to put back into my business, reinvested every penny, lived in a crappy apartment when all my friends that had jobs earning way less than me had way nicer apartments. I remember one apartment wall didn't even have it. When I first got to America, it was all brick. My friends were like, you live in like a prison cell. And I put in the grind to get where I am today. You know, now I have an oceanfront condo in Miami Beach. So like, I've rewarded myself now, but that's after 13 years of hustling. So to answer the question, I think you should hustle. I think you should bootstrap and then raise capital when you actually become a seasoned entrepreneur. Because if not, it's like, I always say raising money, if you're not experienced, is like giving an 18-year-old a $300,000 Lamborghini and saying, off you go, have fun. Versus them running a car, you know, and then maybe when they're older, getting a nice car.
Right. It's so true. I love that you said you lived below your means, because I feel like so many Americans live above their means. And even if they're, you know, making $80,000, all of a sudden they think they're rolling in dough and they, or they spend like that because they're creating this debt and they don't want anyone to know what their, you know, real bank accounts look like. And I think that is a huge part of the problem, especially in America.
Oh, it's definitely more in America. And I mean, it's more now with social media, and it's more in places like where I live now, Miami, LA, New York. Like some of my old employees or old employees, they tell me they have like 20 grand in credit card debt and they're buying more stuff. And like when I was in my like 20s and early 20s, I never had any debt. I would earn, save, and then spend it. And it's like, we live in this culture where these, you know, it's just bizarre to me, absolutely bizarre, but it's just how, I mean, people are.
And my last thing I wanted to touch on was the importance of failing. I think a lot of people are scared to make mistakes because they think they'll never get up, or they're afraid of what people will say. What are your thoughts on the importance of failure?
Yeah, look, I fail every week, and the failures get bigger, not smaller, as you get bigger. You know, like a failure when you're a startup entrepreneur is a contractor on Upwork bills $100 of hours that they didn't really work, and you lose sleep over it. And a failure now is you get, you know, a staff member steal $200,000 before you notice, right? So the problems get bigger. You just get better equipped at handling them. I've sat with billionaires where we're playing tennis or sport one minute, the next minute they're on a call, they come back an hour later and say, sorry, I was just making a decision about a $200 million company we might have to close down. So look, it's never going to get easier. Just you get better equipped with it and you have to accept it. And gold medalists in the Olympics train for 4 years and then get sick the day of the race or hurt their ankle or lose their water bottle and fail. And that's what it takes.
And it's important to learn those lessons so you don't repeat them in the future.
Yeah. I mean, look, you obviously want to limit failures, and that's what mentorship, coaching, following systems, frameworks, and learning from people that have been there. Obviously, it helps condense that. But I don't think there's ever this thing where you won't fail, because part of our human nature is we have to experience things. We can't just learn things. And I've learned this, like even when someone tells you something, until you really, truly experience it, You have to go through that as a human being. I feel it's in our DNA before we actually like learn. So you have to combine mentorship with experience.
Great. I know you're going to be in Vegas this weekend doing Practice Your Pitch with Damon John from Shark Tank. Sure. What else can we expect in the near future that people could possibly sign up for to get more time with you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm always traveling. I'm speaking probably on average nearly once a week. If you know, my Instagram is a great place to see what I'm up to, where I'm at, what I'm doing. We have plenty of courses, programs to help entrepreneurs and people with marketing and everything I talked about. So yeah, just, you know, if you need help, just message me on Instagram or head to one of my websites. And, you know, we love to, like I say, help entrepreneurs do what I just explained in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. And then will there be a season 2 of 60 Day Hustle?
We hope so. You know, look, we think there's a lot more stories to tell, a lot more exciting ways to demonstrate entrepreneurship and show it off. And we've had great feedback so far. So yes, that's as of now, we hope so. And that's the plan. But, you know, with these things, you never know.
Great. And then as a somebody giving you guys feedback, I hope you guys end up picking whoever wins and like highlighting that product to, you know, to make it mainstream so we see it. That would be awesome.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.